Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This service is for the week of March 30th, 2022. The message is entitled, Our Highest Priority. We're looking at texts from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The call to worship is from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. God, our Savior, showed us how good and kind He is. He saved us because of His mercy and not because of any good things that we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us His Spirit. Amen. What would you consider is the hardest part of being a pastor? What would you consider would be most challenging for you? Would it be not being able to sleep in on Sundays? Preparing sermons? Dealing with people? Administration? Funerals? Visiting the sick and discouraged? There may be some other things. Well, all these tasks have their challenges. They are not the hardest part of being a pastor. The hardest part of being a pastor is almost certainly the same as the hardest part of being a board member of a church or being a vibrant Christian. I think the hardest part for us is keeping Jesus the number one priority of my life. We can be busy with a lot of stuff, but be lacking in God's eyes. Why? Because my relationship with Him isn't healthy. The importance of a healthy relationship with God is evident throughout the Bible. Consider what the Lord God said to the Israelites at Mount Sinai when He made His covenant with them. Let me begin with the first six verses of Exodus chapter 19, and then I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. First of all, Exodus 19, the second half of verse 1 to verse 6. 2 months after leaving Egypt, they arrived at the desert near Mount Sinai, where they set up camp at the foot of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain to meet with the Lord God, who told him to say to the people, "You saw what I did in Egypt, and you know how I brought you here to me. Just as a mighty eagle carries its young. Now if you will faithfully obey me, you will be my very own people. The whole world is mine, but you will be my holy nation and serve me as priests. Moses, that is what you must tell the Israelites." Moses went down and told them this, and the people said, "Yes, we are in agreement with that." And then Moses went back up, and in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, God began to give Moses the covenant, and it begins with the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, 1 to 3, "Then God said to the people of Israel, 'I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Do not worship any god except me.'" May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. The very first commandment tells us to guard our relationship with God as our highest priority. That is the very first thing that God told His people. Our number one task as believers is to make sure that nothing comes between Him and us in our priorities, in our plans or affections. No God, person, object, task, duty, or pleasure is to come before our relationship with the Lord our God. Do not worship any god except me. That's our number one task. Now, this is no small thing. We must daily be deliberate in our care of this. This is our most important relationship. We just finished going through The Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It was possibly written around 60 AD. And when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, that's estimated to be around 90 AD. Now, when he wrote that, he included in his letter a letter to the church in Ephesus. And we see that for the Ephesians, keeping their relationship with God, their highest priority, was a struggle for them as well. The believers in the church at Ephesus worked hard. They kept their hopes alive. They stayed doctrinally sound, and they suffered patiently in the Lord's name. Yet the Lord warned them that they were very close to losing both their light and their witness in the world. And why is that? Because they had drifted from their first love. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord says, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first." They had drifted. Hard work, good teaching, and a willingness to suffer for the Lord aren't a replacement for a growing relationship, growing deeper in love with Jesus. Now, this isn't a job or a project or even an obligation that we're talking about. We're talking about a living relationship, and the Lord is very concerned with the conditions of our heart towards Him. What can we do? How can we ensure our relationship with the Lord remains the center of our focus? Well, this morning I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 for help answering this question. How can we ensure our relationship with the Lord remains the center of our focus? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That phrase, all your ways, means all your opportunities and undertakings, all the things that are coming towards you, all the choices that you're making. Acknowledge Him. Now, that word acknowledge doesn't mean to only learn about Him by studying about Him, but rather through a personal relationship with Him. The Living Bible says, "In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success." That's what Proverbs is saying. In everything you do, put God first. That's what it means to acknowledge Him, to not lean on your own understanding. The key to a healthy, growing relationship with our Lord is to trust Him, with everything, and to put Him first. And then we're told He will direct you, He will guide you. What does that mean? It means He will not only give you direction, but that He commits Himself to deal with the obstacles that stand in the way. In the way that He's designed for you to go, He will walk with you. He will help you. He will make that path straight, or feel like it's straight. You know, sometimes doing things in the Lord's strength, it may look when you're looking at the task like it's going to take too long to take time to sit and to pray and to seek God's way. I just got to get on with it. I got to make a decision. I got to do something. I can't just sit here. Doing things in God's strength will be a much more efficient use of your time. He will make the path straight before you as you trust in Him with all your heart and don't trust in your own limited vision and wisdom of the situation. Now, what happens when I trust in the Lord and make sure that He has first priority in my life? Well, first thing it will impact, it'll change my destructive patterns of worry and anxiety. And that eats away so much energy, so much time, so much of my mental thought. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in You." When I am afraid, I will trust in you. It's reminding you that when you begin to feel fear, let that push you into your Lord's arms in saying, Lord, I am going to trust you in this situation. Recognize fear, then remember the Lord. Remember his love for you. Remember his promises to you. A pastor wrote a book a number of years ago, Pastor Ron Mell, and he had lived with leukemia until the Lord took him home. And in a book that he wrote before his death, he said, you know, people knew that he had leukemia, who's being treated for it. But for a while, it seemed to be in remission, but it was always there. And people would ask him how he managed to live knowing that he had leukemia. And some even said, you know, it seems to me like you're spending years of hanging by a rope over the edge of a cliff. An interesting picture. His answer to these people was, it's not so bad when you know who is holding the rope. And he goes on, he says, I've settled into a sense of confidence that my time is in the Lord's hands. What a beautiful way of dealing with the fear and saying, Lord, I trust you. I know I'm not living forever. My life is in your hands. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 in the Phillips translation says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Isn't that beautiful? You can throw your whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You know, other translation says he cares for you, but this makes it much more specific. You're God's personal concern. He cares about you. Pastor Mel goes on in his book to say, I believe it is what you don't surrender that ends up eating you alive, because you carry it. And you feel so responsible to somehow bring it all to a good conclusion, when deep in your heart, you know you never can. What does Jesus say so clearly in Matthew 6? Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Pastor Mel learned how to respond to worry. He goes on, he says, worry is like a red warning light on the dashboard of the car, informing us that we are not putting God first in our lives. Worry alerts us that we've taken back our lives from his care. And that's a very foolish and dangerous thing to do. That's a good remark. Sometimes we don't even want to admit that we're worrying. I'm not worried. I'm concerned. You know, we know that worry is something Christians shouldn't do. Worry is a bad thing. So sometimes we won't even admit that we're worrying. The pastor here is saying, you know, treat worry as a gauge, as a warning sign. And be honest, when you begin to feel it in your life, when you begin to sense yourself going there, then remind yourself, don't focus on the worry, but remind yourself what it's telling you. It's telling you that you've started to take something into your own hands, into your own control. You're not putting God first. You're not taking it to him. You're trying to fix this yourself. You're taking back your lives from his care. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In that verse, the verb trust is complemented by the verb lean. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in God is a conscious dependence on God, much like leaning on a tree for support. And then the idea is reinforced by the command to acknowledge him, which means to observe him and get to know him in the process of living. And as you do so, a person will find time and time again that God smooths out those paths ahead of you that you have been so concerned about, that you didn't know how you were going to get through. It seemed like the bridges were out. It was impassable. But rather than worry, you lean on him. You trust that God is walking with you, that God has a way, and you bring these things to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are quite familiar verses to many of us. Listen to the next two verses, verses 7 and 8. They say, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." These verses go hand in hand with what we just saw, and one can see how they would jump off the page for Pastor Ron Mell, especially dealing with leukemia. Talking about nourishment to your bones. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on thinking you are wiser than you are. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And what will happen? It will make a difference in how you look at things and even how you feel. I'm sure many of you know, fear and anxiety take a terrible toll on our bodies. Not only that they keep our mind occupied, but over time it begins to wear on us physically. We notice it, and so do others. And this leads us to our next point. When I make sure that God is first in my life, that I'm trusting in him, that I have no other God, no other person, no other object or task before him, he's my highest priority, it will impact the people around me. It will impact the people around me. Well, how is that? Well, as it impacts me, it impacts the people I rub shoulders with. It impacts the people I work with that see me, people in my family. People can't help but notice that something is now different about you. Something's different about you, for example, because of the way you handle stress, the way you handle pressure, your attitude towards material things. And they will begin to wonder why you respond the way you do. You don't respond the way most people do. You don't respond the way other employees do. You don't respond the way I do when things happen. What's going on? The Apostle Peter told us to be prepared for people seeing a difference in our lives. And they're going to ask us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." That means make him one, number one. And then he goes on, once you do that, "but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord," period. And then he goes on, "always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Put him first because he is your Lord. And then as we put Christ first, the chances to explain the reason for the hope that you have in your heart will come, because people will literally see a difference in your life, see a difference in the way you live. They may notice your peace at a time when things are tough, and they would respond so much different. Or your patience with difficult people that they may try to avoid. Whatever it is, something makes you different. What is it? Are you ready to explain your hope? The hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready to explain why you have chosen to put him first above everything else in your life? Never forget what Jesus did for you because of love. He took your sins upon himself, even though he was sinless. And he suffered for those sins in your place so that you could live with him now and in eternity. That's what we celebrated in the call to worship from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of any of the good things that we have done. Never forget what Jesus did for you because he loves you. Pastor Ron Mell sums it up well when he says, "Why should I ever want to put anyone or anything in front of him? Why should I tolerate other gods in my life? Why should I serve lesser lords? He promised to provide for me everything I need. My life has completely changed. So why not tell the whole world what a mess I was when he found me? But Jesus came along and took away my embarrassment and shame. Oh, how I love him. That's the reason we can hold out hope for others. That's the reason we can say, put God first and he'll cover your past. If God has forgiven me, he writes, he can forgive you. How could I not want to put such a God first?" Make serving your Lord, make him your number one priority in your life. And this is not just something you say in your head listening to this message. That's where it can begin. But begin evaluating your life and your choices, how you begin your day, how you end your day. Are you inviting him into every moment of your day? Are you consciously, as you deal with the situation, saying, "Lord, what should I do here? Lord, give me your wisdom here. Lord, help me as I begin this day to keep my mind on you. Lord, thank you that you are going to show me the right way to go. You're going to seemingly make that road straight. And Lord, thank you that I don't need to worry because I trust you and you walk with me. Thank you." Now, let me close with a benediction from Revelation chapter 5 and 6. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.